saintly viewers, greetings and welcome to Golden Age Technology on Supreme Master Television. In this week's episode, the first in a two-part program, we examine some of the latest advancements in brain-computer interface, or BCI technology, designed to enhance the lives of the disabled. Professor Jose de la Rosio Mian is the Deputy Tech Professor at the École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne, or EPFL. Known for academic excellence, EPFL is regarded as one of the leading universities in the world. Specializing in the areas of science and technology, EPFL is affiliated with many important scientific endeavors, including the Solar Impulse Project led by Swiss aviation pioneer Bertrand Piccard, which seeks to complete the first solar-powered flight around the globe by 2014. As a specialist in bioengineering and with experience in the field of intelligent robotics, Professor Mian has been working with a team of doctoral students as well as other researchers in developing advanced BCI technology for medical applications such as neuroprosthesis and non-invasive brain-controlled robots to aid the severely disabled. The McGraw-Hill Concise Dictionary of Modern Medicine defines a neuroprosthesis as any electronic and or mechanical device that connects with the nervous system and supplements or replaces functions lost by disease or injury. For example, one way a robotic limb may be controlled is by placing electrodes on the user's head to send signals generated by brain activity to a computer that in turn directs the desired actions for the limb. Professor Mian is also coordinator for a project called Tools for Brain-Computer Interaction, or TOBI, a collaboration of major European scientific research and medical institutes involved in the field of BCI research. Since 2008, the TOBI project has strived to develop non-invasive methods of BCI technology that improve the lives of the disabled and the effectiveness of patient rehabilitation.
A brain-machine interface is a system that allows people suffering from physical disabilities to communicate with the external world and also to control devices. What we are doing is measuring the spontaneous activity of the brain, electrical activity of the brain, and trying to detect patterns that are associated to different intentions. For example, if I imagine moving my right hand, this will generate a specific pattern of activity in my brain. Now, if we develop the software that can do the real-time analysis of what is going on in my brain, I can detect that particular pattern and transform that pattern into some external action.
In order to have a subject control using brain signals, different robots and neuroprosthetics, there are several steps. The first one is to measure in a way that is not invasive, using electrodes that are in contact with the scalp of the person, the spontaneous brain activity as the person concentrates on different mental tasks in order to convey instructions to the robot. So we first measure those brain signals. Then we have a software that analyzes in real time the signals in order to find patterns in the brain electrical activity of the subject that are associated to the different mental commands that the subject is going to deliver. And once the software has recognized that intention of the subject, this is sent to the robot that will execute the commands, say turn left or turn right in the case of a wheelchair.
So everything starts from an intention.
That's very true. The key concept is that the subject has an intention to execute something.
To get an even better picture of how BCI technology works, let's learn more about the device used to channel the user's brain activity to a computer from Michele Tavola, a PhD student at EPFL studying under Professor Mian.
The idea of the cap is that we place these electrodes on the top of the scalp, and these electrodes record the activity of the brain. And these signals are super, super small. We are talking about the order of microvolts. So imagine, it's very, 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 very tiny. And when you deal with such small signals, actually, it's very, very important that your scalp can conduct very well this electric message. If you have short hair, your skin is much more exposed to the atmosphere, so the signals are actually worst. So the longer the hair, the more protected the scalp is, the better signal, the better BCI control. And the other point is that it happened that I was giving the demos, and so it happens that always the guy with no hair doing that, but we also have many, many subjects with very, very long hair, really long hair, also girls and so on. So it's not true that you need to shave. If you need to modify something of your body to operate such kind of interface, then it's not non-invasive anymore. So the non-invasiveness comes also from the fact that you simply wear it.
Neuroprosthetic devices, such as the BCI-controlled wheelchair, can offer freedom of movement and potentially transform the life of a person with severe physical limitations. How does one learn to control a wheelchair or other brain-computer interface devices?
So training is an essential component of a brain-computer interface or a brain-machine interface, because the subject needs to learn how to modulate his or her brain electrical activity. But it is also true that by using a statistical machine learning principle, we can also train the brain-machine interface to understand better the patterns of the brain electrical activity associated to the different commands. This is called mutual learning process. So the key point is that people can learn how to modulate, how to control their individual BCI or BMI very quickly, in a question of a few days, 1 hour per day of training.
Maintaining sustained high levels of concentration to perform basic tasks is not a practical solution for everyday use of a neuroprosthesis or other brain-computer interface device. Professor Mian now discusses his team's search for a solution to this issue.
Well, maybe the most important issue nowadays in brain-machine interfaces is how to facilitate long-term use of the system, so that people can use those systems 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, ideally. And one of the key issues there is the fact that people cannot sustain attention, cannot focus on controlling the device with a high degree of concentration over long periods of time. They can do that over short periods of time because they need to, for example, to negotiate a difficult part of the house with the wheelchair, because there are many objects around. But once they are in the easy part of the environment, say in a corridor, they don't need to have such a degree of concentration. So what we are developing are principles that allow people to rest mentally and yet keep controlling the device, because the wheelchair, say, will keep moving. And also the fact that people, when they are having control of our body, we are also capable to do other things. This is called multitasking. So this is also a way for people to get relaxed and to be able to continue operating the device over long periods of time. What we have been doing is to develop new algorithms in order to better analyze the brain signals, and also to develop principles, for example, on how to combine the intention of the person with the use of intelligent machines that will facilitate the operation, especially over long periods of time. The critical point here is how to allow people not just to control the wheelchair for 5 meters, but for 5 hours in a row.
One solution that is being pursued by Professor Mian and his team is a shared control method. With this method, a BCI-controlled wheelchair could identify obstacles in its path and automatically avoid them, rather than the user having to concentrate every time to direct the wheelchair away from these barriers. In other words, with the shared control method, a machine is independently initiating commands by pre-predicting the user's intentions.
A way to facilitate mental control of robots is a so-called shared control approach, where the robot intelligence reduces the need for the subject to deliver a high number of detailed mental commands over the whole task. The new component we are exploring uses probability theory to accumulate evidence about the subject's mental intention and delivers mental commands only when the user wants to. Our solution is to make it possible for people to shift their attention between several tasks and to deliver the appropriate mental command only at the critical moments. So the next step in improving mental control over long periods of time is to integrate information about the cognitive state of the subject.
Another functionality that can be built in to improve the performance of a BCI device is called interaction error potential.
Imagine that you are trying to control your wheelchair and you want your wheelchair to execute command A, but believe me, we are far from being perfect, so sooner or later your wheelchair will make errors, no matter how good you are in control, no matter how good our software. So at that time, what we would like to have is a mechanism that allows us to analyze the brain signal of this subject and to see a few milliseconds after the subject is aware of the error that the subject is not happy with that command, so as to stop the execution of that command. We call it interaction error potential because this happens when people are interacting.
The research of Professor Mian and his team at EPFL, as well as their collaboration with members of the Tools for Brain Computer Interaction project, are to be applauded. EPFL staff and students, thanks to your excellent work, much progress has been made in designing BCI technology to aid the disabled. It is encouraging to know that your team is continually moving closer to the goal of bringing the latest BCI technology, such as mind-controlled wheelchairs, into hospitals and homes around the world. Please join us again next Friday on Golden Age Technology for the conclusion of our two-part series, as we continue to explore the work of Professor Mian, including mind-operated robots that offer physically restricted patients greater interaction with their families through remote viewing. For more details on Professor Mian, please visit people.epfl.ch/Jose.Mian. More information about the Tools for Brain Computer Interaction project is available at www.tobi-project.org. Cherished viewers, thank you for your company today on Golden Age Technology. Up next is vegetarianism, the noble way of living. After noteworthy news, may the guiding light of heaven shine upon all beings.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/GAT.